I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, an alcoholic in recovery, and my name is Brian. Is there anybody here with hurts, habits, or hang-ups? One, two, three. Okay, I'm in the right place. It says in the Alcoholic's Big Book on page 82, the alcoholic is like a tornado roaring through the lives of others. Hearts are broken. Sweet relationships are dead. Affections have been uprooted. Selfish and inconsiderate habits have left the home in turmoil. My story starts just like everybody else's in the beginning in Portland, Oregon. I grew up in a middle-class family where Dad went to work, Mom stayed home, took care of my sister and myself. They never got divorced, and we never moved. I still live in the same house I grew up in, taking care of the house, and my father, who today just turned 92. I started smoking cigarettes and drinking when I was 10 years old, and it all started very innocently. Hey, kid, go get me a beer. And then it was, kid, go get me a beer, and I'd grab one for myself and run downstairs. This started my many bad habits: lying, stealing, sneaking cigarettes and beer from my parents whenever I could get away with it. I also started playing trumpet in third grade, and I continued all the way through high school. I was labeled a band geek. I was raised to always believe in God. My parents made sure of that. I would go to vacation Bible school during summer breaks. I went to Christmas and Easter services with my aunt and uncle. They were Catholic. I even went to a church youth group for a while as a teenager, never committing my life to God. It just wasn't cool. I was expelled from high school when I was a junior for smoking cigarettes on school grounds. And this is way back in 1975. I was quickly on my way to a life of trouble. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. And if you leave God's path and go astray, you will hear a voice behind you say, no, this is the way, walk here. I didn't listen, and I was off running wild. Couldn't go back to school, so I had to find a job at age 16. They were hard enough to find, not only because of my age, but everybody knew I was expelled from high school. By this time in my life, I was branching out, smoking pot, using drugs, smoking cigarettes, and drinking. One weekend, my parents actually went out of town and left me at home to take care of the house. They trusted that I would keep the house safe and clean. I didn't. I had a big party complete with a live band. I cleaned the house up and nothing got broke except my parents' trust. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. I was kicked out of the house and on my own at age 17. It was great. No rules, no food, no shelter. Fact was, I was all alone. Started buying and selling pot to support my habit. I'd buy it in Portland and I'd sell it down in Tillamook. It didn't take long before I was arrested in Tillamook. I told them I was 18 years old, so they wouldn't call my parents. And it worked. They threw me right in Tillamook County Jail. But it didn't take them long before they found out I was 17 years old, and I was a runaway, and this was on a Thursday afternoon. So they called my dad, and he said, keep him till Sunday. I was ordered to go live with my parents and get a job. I didn't. I started running around with old school friends instead. We got really drunk one night, broke into Fred Meyer's sporting goods store. And I was arrested again, only this time I was 18 years old. I was sentenced to 1 year in Rocky Butte Jail and 5 years of probation. Before I go much farther, I need to back up a minute. I was 18 years old, I was a full-blown alcoholic, already addicted to drugs, and I'd already gotten two girls pregnant. One was from a church youth group, the other one was from my high school band. I was 18 years old in Rocky Butte Jail, and I turned 19 in that jail, and that would be the first of many birthdays that I would spend in jail. Upon my release, I found a job at a local gas station, and as soon as I had money, I was right back drinking and using drugs again. It wasn't long before my tills were coming up short. I was showing up late for work, or I just wouldn't show up at all. This became a pattern for my job history. I had way too many jobs to count, and I moved around a lot because of money problems. It's funny, if they don't pay your rent, they want you to move. As you can probably imagine, during this part of my life, God was the furthest thing from my mind. Well, this starts the next part of my life, my roaring 20s, and they were just that. I was a roaring alcoholic, full of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It was the 80s, Ron. The destruction in my life became more apparent not only in my life, but to all those around me. I was about 25, and my dad asked me if I wanted to go to work with him. And I said, you bet, I'd love to go to work with you. He said, calm down, it's only part-time. I said, that's okay, this is my dream job. I was going to be a beer truck driver in downtown Portland. Yep, an alcoholic driving a beer truck. That's like asking a fox to watch the hen house. But it didn't take me long before I got my first DUI coming home from the bar after work. A couple more failed jobs and the trail of destruction started to grow. It was time for a new girlfriend. She became my son's mother. We were only together for 3 years until she'd had enough of my lying and cheating, stealing. She had 3 young kids and a drunk for a boyfriend, and it became way too much for her. So once again, I left more destruction behind me as I walked away from her and my son. My son hasn't talked to me since he was 13 years old. He's now in his 30s. When I left one woman, I would go straight to another one. The next woman I met became my wife. I was in my 30s, started working with my wife's brother as a painter. He said to become a journeyman painter, I'd have to go back to school. Not only to get my GED, but I'd have to attend Clackamas Community College once a week for 3 years. I did it. I got that journeyman's card in my back pocket. My marriage, though, only lasted 7 years until she'd had enough of my lying, cheating, drinking. The list goes on and on. I did manage to stay out of trouble for a while, but I was still a roaring alcoholic, an instant tornado, just out of alcohol. It didn't take long before, once again, I was in real trouble. That day started with tequila sunrises. The rest of the day is kind of a blur until that night, when I drove from Hillsboro to southeast Portland to my ex-wife's house, and I shot her front door off with a shotgun. And it was just like you see on TV. As I drove away, I was completely surrounded, guns drawn, ready to kill me. I sat in my van, smoked a couple of cigarettes, finished my bottle. I figured I had 2 ways out of this. I could jump out of that truck with a gun in my hand and die, or I could just get out of the truck and do what they wanted. I managed to stay alive that night only by the grace of God. I was arrested again, sentenced to 5 years state penitentiary and 5 years of parole. They said I could do 5 years in the state penitentiary or 13 months of the Department of Corrections boot camp. I did the boot camp. I was 39 years old when I went in, and I was 40 years old when I came out. So yes, I was still spending my birthdays in jail. That same night I completed that program, I had that piece of paper in my hand. Man, I was off parole. I was off everything. I ran straight to the bar. Not just for a drink. We closed that place. And yes, I was right back where I left off. The wheels of insanity were spinning freely. Psalms chapter 40, verse 12. Problems far too big for me to solve are piled higher than my head. Meanwhile, my sins too many to count have all caught up with me, and I'm ashamed to look up. I continued to do what I always did. I found a new girlfriend. Only this time I moved to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. It was great. I was starting a new life, new state, no problems, no troubles. I even started going to church on Sundays. I even painted a couple of their classrooms that they used for Sunday school. But once again, it didn't take long for the local police to know my name, they knew my address, and they knew I was a really bad drunk. I had a couple more run-ins with the law. I had 2 DUIs back-to-back. The run-ins with the law over domestic abuse and being drunk in public. Changing states didn't change a thing. I was a 48-year-old alcoholic drinking screwdrivers for breakfast, beer for lunch, and vodka for dinner. That's when they handed me a one-way ticket back to Portland. I told everybody I had to leave Portland to help my dad take care of my mom. She had dementia. That was a bold-faced lie. Those police escorted me to the airport and told me not to come back. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Stop lying to each other and tell the truth, for we are all parts of each other. When we lie to each other, we are only hurting ourselves. When I came back to Portland, I had no place to stay, so I called my cousin. God rest his soul. I picked right back up where I left off, lying, stealing, drinking. Found a new girlfriend, moved in with her. She saw right through me and kicked me out. I became homeless at this time. I was living out of my van. I'd lost everything except my clothes and a few hand tools for painting. One night when I was passed out, sleeping in my van, somebody broke in, pointed a gun in my face, demanded money and drugs, pistol whipped me, beat me with his fist and his feet, ended up hitting me with a jack handle for about an hour and a half. I finally closed my eyes and he left me for dead. I managed to crawl to the driver's seat and drove to my parents' house, which thank God was only a few blocks away. My dad drove me to Portland Adventist Hospital. They couldn't fix me, so they transferred me to Emmanuel, where it took 3 plastic surgeons 2 hours to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. After that night, my dad said, well, you can park the van in the driveway so you'll be safe. I said, God, thank you. He didn't trust me with a key to the house, and he'd lock that house up tight every night so I couldn't get in while they were sleeping. Being homeless, though, I was able to get food stamps and medical insurance, so I started seeing a doctor for my high blood pressure. My doctor's concern was for my drinking. It was 10 o'clock in the morning. She could smell alcohol. I told her right away, I don't have a problem with drinking, Doc. I'm just here to get my pills. But she kept after me about my drinking, and I finally asked her for help. She got me into Cedar Hills Hospital within a couple of days of asking her. And for those of you who don't know, it's a 30-day spin dry. When I got out, I was physically okay, but mentally I was still sick. The first thing that crossed my mind is, man, I've been sober for 30 days. I need a drink. Yep. That night, I got my fourth DUI fresh out of Cedar Hills Hospital. This time, I lost my house. I towed my van away, and I was arrested again, put in jail. The cravings at this time in my life were all I could think about. When I got out of jail, I had no place to live, so I had to move back home. And I moved right back into the basement in my old room, so it was really easy to sneak beer back into the house. It was during this time in my life when I did lose my mother to her dementia. That part was true. God had taken her home. She was finally free from her pain and confusion. My mom went to heaven. I went back drinking 24/7. My drinking had become much more than a problem. I had to drink so I wouldn't be sick. It was time for a new girlfriend, which meant more trouble with the law over domestic abuse. Does anybody see a pattern here? Yeah, it only became obvious to me when I started putting pen to paper to start writing my first testimony. This time I was sentenced to 18 months at Columbia River Correctional Institution. And once again, I used my 911 prayer. God, get me out of this. I'll never do it again. Till the next time. As I was sitting on my bunk one night, minding my own business, I had no idea my life was going to change because of two people. First guy came up and said, hey, I'm going to an AA meeting. You want to go? And I said, yeah, I'll go. Sat in the back of the room, head down. Please don't call on me. I'm just here to get my slip signed. It didn't take long before I was showing up early to set up the chairs. I was staying late to help put the chairs away. I became secretary of the Thursday night meeting for the whole 10 months I was inside Columbia River. Second guy came up, said, hey, I'm going to a Celebrate Recovery meeting. You want to go? And I went, what's that? He said, I don't know. Well, I went into this room, and there was a whole bunch of tables around in a circle, and there was all these nice little green and yellow workbooks sitting on the tables. The volunteer came in, and he explained that this was a Celebrate Recovery Step Study. It was going to last approximately 25 to 30 weeks, and he wanted me to commit to coming to all 25 weeks of classes. Let's get real. Commitment's never been one of my strong suits. I saw it on the bottom line. I committed to coming to all 30 weeks of classes. Then Chris handed me this exact green and yellow workbook. Said, read the first chapter, do the questions at the end, and I'll see you next week. And my answer was, yeah, we'll see. And as I sat on my bunk and I started looking through this book, I found out that this book has the same 12 steps as AA, only a little bit more to chew on. And it was easier to understand and apply to my own life. I also found out about another CR meeting on Tuesday nights. It was a regular CR meeting with worship, neither teaching or testimony. My first couple of step study meetings, my answers to the questions were kind of short. They were one-word answers, yes, no, maybe. I still wasn't sure about the trust in the group. The first thing I noticed, though, is that volunteer was always happy and that he had something that I wanted. I couldn't put my finger on it. Man, it was something. Our group started with 20 people. As we worked through the next couple of chapters, my answers to the questions got a little longer. I was using full sentences. Our group started to grow. And little did I know that God was already working in my life. He was using each lesson in that book to open up my eyes. When it came to lesson 5, which is turn, this is where I had to make up my mind to surrender all. It was time for all in or get out. That week, I gave it all to God. I started with a third step prayer in my AA book. I used the principle 3 prayer in my step study guide. Then it was off to lesson 9. Yep, it's a 4-step inventory. Our group shrank to 4 to 6 people. But the people left were committed to being open and honest with each other. It took me a couple weeks to finish that inventory. It was as long as my arm. But then it was off to the fifth step. Now, wait a minute. I'm in jail, and I'm writing all this stuff down. I got to keep it secret. I don't want anybody to know my stuff. Who can I tell it to who I could trust to keep a secret? The jail chaplain. So I made an appointment to see Chaplain Holbrook. The day of my appointment, I walked in and sat down. He said, "So why are you here?" And I said, "Well, I'm here to confess to God, to myself, and to another human being the exact nature of my wrongs." "Oh, yeah, have a seat." When I was done, about an hour later, he had this blank look on his face. And he stared at me, and he says, "I have one question for you." And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Have you ever had a relationship with anybody in your life where alcohol wasn't involved?" I had to answer truthfully and say, "No, I started drinking when I was 10. Then it dawned on me, I might be an alcoholic. The next step study meeting I went to, I told Chris that I'd share my fifth step with a chaplain, and he handed me a Celebrate Recovery Bible. He said, "Good job." That was the first time in a long time where I heard the word God in my life, where it actually meant something. Every time I got finished with a lesson in that book, my life began to change. Little things at first, a smile, a passing, "Hi, how you doing?" I even started praying each morning and each evening, just like it suggested in the book. And it actually started to work. People aren't supposed to be happy in jail, but I sure was. Next few days, after confessing to the chaplain, though, they felt kind of weird. I almost felt sick. I couldn't figure out what it was. Then it dawned on me. It was God warming my heart from the inside out. It wasn't long before my smile ever left my face. My life took a full 360-degree turn. God had me facing in a new direction. Yes, I know, many people have told me, "You only went 180, you'd be right back where you started." So nope, God spun me all the way around. My old life was over. And at that point, I realized that all my cravings of 47 years of being an alcoholic were gone. Finally, because I'd surrendered all to God. God had other plans for me when I first got to Columbia River. He wanted me to focus on recovery, and he also made it seem like it was all my idea when he used those two guys to plant the seeds of recovery. After 6 months in Columbia River, God started to open doors for me. I ended up with a job in the maintenance shop. I even painted a hole outside of the jail and put a stripe on it to make it look pretty. During our Tuesday night regular CR meeting, when it was time to break off into small groups, everybody would leave except for about 8 or 10 of us. But this part of the meeting got me used to focusing on my victories for the week. And yes, there are good things that happen in jail. When I finished my step study, I started to write my testimony. I believed it to be the next step in my healing. When I finished, I asked one of the volunteers of our Tuesday night CR, I won't mention any names, Paul, if I could share it with him. So he showed up early one night, and I shared it with him. He was a really good listener. He said I did a really great job. So just before I left in October of 2014, I shared it at the Tuesday night meeting. Yes, we all dressed the same, and yes, we all had to be there, but it was still one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. I also started going to another CR step study just a couple weeks before I got out. I went to help the volunteers and let the guys know that this CR step study stuff really works. If you put forth the effort to be open and honest, it's amazing how God will change your life. The CR meeting, when I got out in October of 2014, they handed me a list of all the Celebrate Recoveries in Oregon. And I believe it was, I won't mention any names, Paul, who handed it to me. And so I knew exactly what CR I'd be going to. And it was As Is Celebrate Recovery. It was on Monday night. So I called the volunteer. He said, "Yep, I'll meet you there at 6:30. Don't be late." So I showed up at 6:30, walked through the front doors, and there he was. He started to introduce me around to the crowd. It was a pretty big crowd, and I was kind of a little nervous. So as we were walking and talking, I explained to him, "Yes, I've already been through a step study, and I've already written my testimony." He said, "Great, we're always looking for people to give testimonies." I went, "Wait a minute. I just got out of jail." But it didn't take long. I found another CR in North Portland. It was a smaller group. I even felt more at ease there. I also started going back to my AA meetings, only this time I understood what the 12 steps were because of what I learned in my CR step study. I first gave my testimony November of 2014 at Mount Olivet. 3 days later, I gave it again at As Is. When I got to As Is, the guy says, "Hey, can we film your testimony?" And I said, "Why?" And he goes, "Well, that way we can use it for a video testimony, and I could even make you a copy and put it on a thumb drive." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Never mind, I have one." So after that day, I had a copy of my testimony. And then it wasn't 3 or 4 days later. In November of 2014, I was standing right here on this stage for the very first time, scared to death, in Rolling Hills to share my testimony again. The night that they filmed it, I had this thumb drive, and I figured out that I could take this thumb drive, make DVD copies, and I could send it back into jail because I couldn't go back in for 3 years. So I made copies. I sent them back into Columbia River. I also made copies and sent them down to Oregon State Penitentiary. And all this happened the first 2 months I got out of jail in 2014. I'm currently part of a great leadership team at As Is Celebrate Recovery, which is the best place to be on a Monday night, which is truly another blessing from God. I continue to do service work from greeting you at the door to making coffee to cleaning up, leading men's small groups for addictions, leading and co-leading several step studies. I'm still broken, but today I have a new Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, to help put the pieces back together. Amen. Being a part of As Is Church Faith Family is a great way to spend my Sundays. Got baptized there Father's Day of 2015. It's been amazing. Once I became open and honest with myself and others, life is so much easier. I start each day with prayer and meditation along with my morning devotional. The rest of the day just seems to flow a little easier. I have a sponsor. I won't mention any names, Ron. And I am a sponsor. I have accountability partners and real friends in Christ. Every day I wake up, my eyes open are truly a blessing from God. I can go on and on about all the blessings I have in my life today because of my personal relationship with God. From my faith family to my forever family and a renewed relationship with my family who had all but given up on me. Things that used to throw me into a chill spin are just a chance to stop and pray or offer help if needed. January 2017, we'll start on January 1st, I got engaged. January 7th is my anniversary date. January 16th, I got off of parole, which is 2 years early. January 28th, I was walking back into Columbia River for the first time to share my testimony in person. I was not supposed to be able to walk in that jail for 3 years after I got out. I was 3 weeks off paper and I was walking in. Tell me who's working in my life. It's not me. The woman who I'm now engaged with, 15 years ago, was part of my past alcoholic abusive relationship. She typed in my name in Facebook and expected to see an obituary. But what she found was a page full of Celebrate Recovery, God, and food. So God is restoring that relationship with us one day at a time. January 7th of this year, I celebrated 4 years of sobriety. And just recently, I was cleared. And I have a badge to go into the federal penitentiary at Sheridan. By continually surrendering and trusting God, my entire life is changing. God has restored relationships and blessed me with close brothers in Christ. I'm making new memories with my dad, and I'm learning how to communicate, and I even have emotions, in case you haven't noticed. It hasn't always been easy. I've had to work really hard not to take things back when I give them over to God. But I continue to work these steps in this program and pray every day. And I'm amazed and blessed as God's plan unfolds in my life. My life's not all wine and roses. It's iced tea, Mountain Dew, and daffodils. I finally graduated the School of Hard Knocks with a master's degree. That master's degree cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars and didn't pay me a thing. I'm now enrolled in the College of Recovery. The tuition is free, and the knowledge and the education are endless. The more I learn, the more I can give back what was freely given to me. To the newcomer, if you have the ability to be open and honest and get involved, you will see and feel God change your life. Give this program an honest chance to work. 90 days. Keep coming to these meetings for 90 days. If you're not completely satisfied after 90 days, I will gladly refund your misery. There's five things I'd like you to remember tonight. Trust in God's timing. Rely on His promises. Wait for His answers. Rejoice in His goodness. And relax in His presence. And just like everything in Celebrate Recovery, tonight's acrostic is grace. Can't do Celebrate Recovery without an acrostic. In closing, Colossians 3, chapter 10. You're living a brand new kind of life that is continually learning more and more what is right and trying constantly to be more and more like Christ, who created this new life within me. Thank you.